The Springboks are cheats and have no respect for rugby. That is the accusation levelled against our world champions by the international rugby establishment after controversial moves by South Africa during the July test window. In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I break it all down for you, and we'll see if Dr. Russie Erasmus really did break the law or not. So here it is again. It's the second test against Italy in Gqeberha. Marnie Lebok kicks short, Andre Esterhazen collects, and it is blown up. Why was it blown up? Well, firstly, Lebok's kick didn't go 10 metres, and also Esterhazen was offside. My first thought when I saw it was the 10 metres. But there's a bit more to it than that, as it turns out. Now, as you guys know by now, whenever Russie's team does anything even slightly unusual, there's an outcry from overseas, isn't there? If it's not Ben Smith or John Kerwin, then it's Stephen Jones or Matt Williams. Nigel Owens also pops up from time to time to say something about the Springboks. The Welshman did actually weigh in on this one, as you would have expected from a former international referee who took charge of a Rugby World Cup final, no less, and is a well-respected man in rugby. And before you say that I'm having a go at Nigel, I'm a big supporter of his. I think he was a wonderful referee. He was the best referee during his time in charge of the whistle. At first, he tried to explain why it was a scrum. Let's see what Nigel said. The key word is deliberate, because normally in this kind of situation, if a player is in front of the kickoff, it's deemed to be offside and a scrum back. The reason that is a scrum is because the kick tends to go at least 10 metres, so actually the effect of the players who may be slightly in front chasing that ball can be very, very minimal, if any effect at all. But then again, they are in front, and for that reason it's deemed to be an accidental offence and a scrum back. What we saw in this instance is it looks deliberate. It's a ploy. It's an action to get a scrum. So in this instance, if I was refereeing this game, to me, that would be a pretty straightforward, clear penalty because it's not a normal action. Okay, fair enough. But it appears that perhaps referee Andrew Brace saw it differently. Brace blew Esterhazen up for being in front of the kicker and duly awarded the scrum. The correct call according to the law. Oh, hang on, did he blow up Marnie Lebok for not kicking at 10 metres? Which one is it? Let's go with the former at this stage, and that would be law 12.5. When the ball is kicked, A, teammates of the kicker must be behind the ball. Now that's also what Owens was referencing, remember, but he then turned it to the issue of it being deliberate. That is law 9.27, which reads, a player must not do anything that is against the spirit of good sportsmanship. And a few paragraphs later, it says in law 9.7, a player must not A, intentionally infringe any law of the game. Now look, let's be honest. When we talk about things like the spirit of the game or good sportsmanship, you might find it's not always easy to find two people to agree on the same thing. As much as we love things like sportsmanship and respect and these so-called rugby values, which, by the way, I think is absolute nonsense and it's just a myth, but whatever, the fact of the matter is that it's not always black and white. Sometimes it is, but many times it's not. And I think that that makes it difficult for a referee to blow someone up for doing something against the spirit of good sportsmanship. So, like a lot of things in rugby, when it comes to the laws, it is open to interpretation. Where have you heard that before? Now, let's try to go through this systematically. Marnie kicks off and it doesn't go 10 metres. Did he do that deliberately? I mean, it could have been a mistake, right? We see kickoffs not go 10 metres all the time. Those are usually restarts, but nevertheless, we do see shallow kickoffs and restarts. There's no law that says the kickoff has to be deep. Marnie's kickoff was more of a chip. Can we thus say that his chip didn't work out and it didn't have the desired effect as a short kickoff and didn't travel the 10 metres? I mean, we could say all of these things, couldn't we? Therefore, as per the law, because it didn't go 10 meters, scrum to Italy, which is what Brace awarded, don't forget. But I come back to what Nigel Owen said about it being deliberate. Remember, a player must not A, intentionally infringe any law of the game. And I think you can easily argue that Marnie intentionally infringed. That's what our eyes and our instincts told us. So no scrum, but a penalty. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I saw it, again, the first thing I thought was it didn't go 10 meters, therefore it's a scrum, and that's exactly what we want. We want to have a scrum nice and early to exert our dominance on the Italians. And if that is exactly what the thinking was, which I suspected it was, and I think many people did, then it is an infringement of the law, isn't it? So again, not a scrum, but a penalty. Similarly, when the ball is kicked, A, teammates of the kicker must be behind the ball. André Esterhazen was not. The fact it was chipped by Marnie to André deliberately or not is neither here nor there. Esterhazen's sanction should have been a scrum, which is the way Brace saw it, because he was offside, right? He was a teammate that was ahead of the kicker. So whether your gripe is with the ball not going 10 meters or André being offside, the sanctions is a scrum. Unless, of course, Esterhazen was in deliberate violation of the law. I'd argue it is far easier to accuse Marnie of deliberately violating the law here than André. He strayed offside, as many players do at kickoff, and happened to be in position to collect Marnie's poorly executed chip kickoff. Or so the theory might go. Russ's laws expert, Jaco Paper, would know that. And while this might not have been Jaco's idea or even suggestion, he would have advised Doc accordingly. But wait, there's more. Because in the case of Lebok not having kicked at 10 meters, the non-kicking team, Italy in this case, actually has the option of the kick being retaken or a scrum. Regardless of their coach Gonzalo Quesada complaining about the match, or after the match anyway, the Azzurri didn't actually have to scrum. They could have asked for the kick to be retaken. Would the box have gone for the short kickoff or deliberate offside again? I doubt it. Now again, Rassi and Jaco would have known all of this. Surely. Otherwise, what's the point of having Paper around? I have no doubt Doc wanted an early scrum, and this was his way of forcing it. Is that against the spirit of the game? Is that against the spirit of good sportsmanship? Damien Willemse called a mark in the Rugby World Cup quarterfinal against France, and we opted for a scrum instead of the ubiquitous kick. Some overseas threw a hissy fit, but it's an option teams have after calling a mark. Doesn't matter how well known that option is or was at the time. And that's what I think is also going on here. It was about options, giving the referee options. We had a preferred outcome, and by giving the referee options, a scrum possibly being the easiest option to choose, we got that preferred outcome. What is so terrible about playing to your strengths, I ask? We are good at scrumming. Why would we not go for a scrum whenever we can? Or, even put another way, they, our opponents, don't like scrumming. Or even they, our opponents, are in their own half and would not want to have to come all the way to our 22 to have to scrum. So therefore we pick the scrum. Similarly, if you are good at driving from the line out and you have the option of kicking for poles or touch, you select the line out option. Not always, but often. Is this really tactical? Because remember, we're being accused of cheating. Now, I don't actually believe we cheated. If anything, I think Andrew Brace was the one who got it wrong. Or at least, he was under pressure and had to select one from three options. Do you award the scrum for the penalty or the kickoff not going 10? Do you award the scrum for the offside player? Or do you award a penalty for deliberate infringements of the law? It's possible Paper also got it wrong. But what I really think is that Paper may have advised that Bruce or any other referee might not know what to do because, effectively, as I just mentioned, you've got three law infringements going on here at the same time. Two, potentially accidental, the other one deliberate? What is the choice going to be that the referee makes? Was it the ball not going 10? Was it offside? Or was it intentional infringement? Yes, we can all have our suspicions as to which one it really was, but I think what Doc and Paper did here was create a scenario where the referee had to make a choice between the three law violations. And their bet paid off, in the sense that Brace played it safe with his interpretation. As I say, I think it would have been a brave referee to blow that up as intentionally infringing any law of the game, no matter the relative strength of the evidence before him. So that's pretty much what I think. But what World Rugby thinks is really what counts here, right? And they've put out a clarification. And rather predictably, it's a cop-out. Look at this. The actions show an intentional violation of the kickoff and restart laws. Laws 12.5 and 12.6 set out the sanctions where the ball unintentionally fails to go 10 metres or a player overruns their teammate at the kickoff slash restart. However, if match officials believe this is done deliberately, then law 9.7a should be applied. In effect, they're saying it's up to the referee. And as I say, it'll take a brave referee to make that call. And my best guess is that that is what Doc and Paper were banking on. And that, quite frankly, is shrewd. Can we expect to see more of this kind of stuff from Russie going forward? Yes and no. I expect to see more innovation from our coach, but this kind of thing, which I think you can rightly describe as shenanigans, I think is more of a deliberate ploy to, one, see if it works and if they can get what they want out of it, i.e. an early scrum, but also, two, to create a distraction. The Springboks have important tests coming up away from home in the Rugby Championship against the All Blacks in Auckland and Wellington in September. The media and the fans talking about Russie and his tactics, in good faith or not, is a great smokescreen while the players can just get on with the job of getting ready for these massive matches. And interestingly enough, Russie might have found himself an ally in Scott Robertson of all people. Here's what Razor said when asked about it. We did that in my time in France. In Papillon, we had a hell of a scrum. We kicked it out on the full and the forward pack were stood behind the kicker. Imagine that. So yeah, sure, maybe Russie isn't right on this one. But before you attack Doc, you might want to also criticize the All Blacks boss too. But what do you think? Do you see it the way I do, that Russie and Jaco Paper created a scenario that forced the referee to pick a sanction, and that's actually quite clever? Or do you think Russie is way out of line this time and he's gone too far? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to tell you about my Patreon page, and I'd love you to head on over there and sign up as one of my patrons. What would you get if you did that? Well, you can get quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok matches, players, and tactics. You can also get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. You can win Springbok jerseys and match tickets. You can also get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store. And you can also win the brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. It starts from as little as $5 per month. I know the rand is strengthening, so that's a good thing. We're looking at about 85 rand per month. And I'll be very, very grateful if you would sign up. It would help me to be able to do this full time and to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily coverage. As I say, I would be very grateful if you hopped on board and joined my dream team. The link is in the description area below, and I'll speak to you next time.